This show is
Really?
not for the easily offended, and show notice the explicit tag. If you don't like the curse words, fuck off.
Y'all get the guns, the drugs, from my generation, I'll take the fall, the state, and across the nation, and it's a sin, the guns, the freak, the fraud, they're messing with me, come on, come on, come on, let's get it out.
Kata, fuck you. And welcome to DSJMP WrestleCast, where we get together the like minds and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. If you want to get a hold of the show, you can email us, dsjmp.com@gmail.com. Unless he has another one for the website now, I don't know. You can follow us on Twitter, @dsjmp.com, no dot there. Visit the website, dsjmp.com. And I believe that's the basic gist of everything. It's going to be a kind of semi-normal show, and it's probably going to be small because we have roughly half the people as we normally do in one email as of right now. So, to get into things, this is episode 56, and we'll double-check that later, but that's what our statistician says on the numbers. And we have Wayne, is it? Nope. We have Devil, nope. We have D-Arch, nope. We have Katie, the First Lady.
Yay, I'm here, present.
And we have Mop, I mean, we have Biohazard.
Speaking of present, isn't it good not to have Vamp here tonight?
I know I'm going to take out all the silences, but do you hear that? Exactly. This is going to be a really positive show, maybe. I don't know.
No.
But we'll start with Keep, Toss, and Improve. And let's go, Katie.
Okay, well, I'm going
to
start.
I want to keep the whole show, like, this segment, and... Oh, I'm sorry.
Like, I'm sorry, wrestling is just not wrestling.
Uh-huh. My keep is the tag team titles being on the line and looks to be, like, in a fatal four at WrestleMania. I liked how the two top teams both lost their matches to New Day and Los Matadors, two teams you never would think would be in the title hunt, but now it seems like they are, and I like the direction they're going in, and it should be a good match.
I've heard a lot of people bitch about, like, oh, you know, there's too many multi-people matches at WrestleMania. This is a way to get people on the show.
Yeah, and get their payday.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. They always try to put as many people on the show as they can for WrestleMania.
And if you did it where, like, some of these people were just in the Battle Royal, be like, oh, man, they're really burying so-and-so because they're not using them right. Well, they're just not. And you either have these like, one-on-one matches and you only have a handful of people on the card, or you try to pack in these matches and kind of make them a bit suspenseful, especially with multiple people where anybody can walk away with a victory and or a championship. There's like a handful of one-on-one matches, but it's a spice up. I totally agree.
I mean, I really enjoy it. I mean, we have our big four single matches, and that's perfectly fine for WrestleMania. You need your big opener to get people excited, and usually that's going to be a multi-man match.
Oh, definitely. There's even when I go to AIW shows, for a while, one of the first matches they would do, and sometimes they do it after intermission too, is a six-person scramble match. It's not your normal scramble. It's not like a championship scramble, but it's six people. Whoever gets the first pinfall, whatever wins. And when you start off the show like that,
it builds excitement
yeah.
for the show. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm perfectly fine with it. There's a lot of matches. I heard when I was listening to Justin Labar's show, a guy who called in who I've met, and I know him. He's a cool dude. He was kind of like sticking up for the WrestleMania card because there's a lot of people just like, I'm not pumped for this and all this. And I'm like, why? I'm pumped. I'm not as probably pumped as I will be the day of, but I'm still pumped. There's still like some matches I'm really looking forward to.
Yeah, I think I tweeted this out that there looks like going to be 9 matches in total, like some that are not confirmed yet. And I don't know what they're going to do for the pre-show, if there's going to be another like throwaway match. But most of the matches on there I'm excited about.
I think one or two of those matches could be on the pre-show.
When last year they had the Battle Royal and the Intercontinental match as the pre-show, or was that the year before?
No, I thought the Battle Royal was a part of the actual show.
Yeah, because that was a tag title.
Wasn't the first pre-show WrestleMania 28? Honestly, it's the first pre-show, like, well, modern pre-show, because technically they used to be the free-for-all and all that kind of stuff, but of recent memory, when they started doing the YouTube at first, I think I want to say it was WrestleMania. And if Katie doesn't know...
WrestleMania 27, didn't Sheamus fight Daniel Bryan on the pre-show, and then they opened the following year with that 18-second victory?
Yep. So. Yeah, okay, yeah, that's true.
No, it wasn't an actual pre-show, though. It was the dark match.
Yeah.
So it wasn't
but
like
it
you
ended up on
watch
the DVD
it.
Anyway, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I remember because it was a tag team match, but that was obviously before the network, and they were doing a lot of stuff like, oh, watch it on YouTube.
I think it was like lumberjack matches, something like that.
Oh, they did have, that was WrestleMania. Well, they used to do the non-online pre-shows, where it was, because I do know what you're talking about, because they had ECW pre-show. Well, not ECW, but it was a Battle Royal, whoever won got the challenge, the ECW champion, which at the time was Chavo Guerrero. Kane won, and he won in like 10 seconds.
I'll
say in 15 to be nice. I knew that was a stretch, but I was like, yeah. It was literally just, I don't know if it was kick, choke slam, or just fucking choke slam pin.
I think it was just choke slam pin.
And, like, Rey Mysterio 1 year beat JBL in, like, sleep less, like, 10 seconds, too, for the Intercontinental title.
I don't even remember that.
But
I
think that wasn't JBL's last match, was it?
I think so. Remember, I think he got on the microphone. He said, I quit.
He said he quit. I didn't remember that was for the Intercontinental title, and I don't remember being that short. Speaking of short.
No pun intended.
Yeah, sorry, Wayne.
He's not here to defend himself anymore, so...
Yeah, he's just coming up short. Anyway, what is your toss or improve?
Well, my improve, and this could be nitpicking, but I'm not the only one that bitched about this, but Sting's voice in his video package from Monday. Now, I know that it was his voice. They just altered it in a weird way. I don't know why they did that, why they couldn't just use his regular voice. He sounded, like, very creepy. I mean, hell, The Undertaker, they used his own voice just to say rest in peace. And it could have been, like, some rest in peace he said 2 years ago. But
yeah, I was going to say. That's what it sounded like 2 years ago.
2 years ago? It sounded much longer ago than that.
Yeah.
When I heard that, I was like, man, I'm picturing, like, Undertaker back when he was with Paul Bearer originally. Yeah. I'm like, that,
like
you sound
Ministry
really...
of Darkness Undertaker.
Yeah, he sounded really youthful. Yeah. I'm just like, I bet Michelle McCool is fun and all, but I don't know about that shit.
Yeah, so Sting's voice was just weird in that video package. I don't know why they did what they did with his voice in that video.
Yeah, I don't understand it either. It is almost a question that if it was really him, but there's times that they gave you a barely altered clip for like a split second.
I think it was him because I retweeted something about, and it was like unedited, and it sounded more like really him.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like what they did was lower the pitch and then do like a bunch of other stuff. The comparison that I heard from somebody was, like, granted, they're like, it sounded real, but also it sounded like it was Ryback.
Kind
of. Because of the pitch of the voice, originally.
Feed him, Triple H.
It's like they didn't think he had a sinister voice already. They had to make it a whole nother person.
He still sounds like the Surfer. Make him sound like the Crow.
Yeah, but I thought it was kind of interesting. It's like, there's still that question among people, like, was that really him? I mean, I think it was.
That was a segment that I ended up missing, so I never got to watch it. I didn't even go back to watch it.
I would say go to Daily Motion and watch it, but that's how I watch it.
Yeah, I mean,
the video
sure
in general was good, just his voice was weird.
I'm sure I can go to YouTube. It'll probably be on the WWE YouTube channel or something.
Mm-hmm.
It probably is.
All right, Biohazard, what's your keep toss or improve?
I'm going to get my keep out of the way because since DRG is not here, nobody's really going to talk too much about it. But I watched Impact Wrestling on Friday. Well, Saturday morning.
All right, moving on. Next segment.
Well, the keep I wanted to do is they did the build-up to the triple threat match. They had a number one contender triple threat match, Kurt Angle, Bobby Roode, Eric Young. And every 30 minutes or so within the show, they would show a video package of their career, whether it was in TNA or Kurt Angle's went back to his Olympic days. And it made it seem like that number one contender match was the most important match of their careers, leading up to Kurt Angle eventually winning to go to face Bobby Lashley for the TNA world title. I just thought it was pretty great on the fact that they built it as the match, and like I said, the fact they went back to their careers and their time in TNA leading up to that moment, as like I said, building it as the biggest match of their careers.
I think we'll take this time for DRG to tweet you his response to this, because I'm pretty sure me and Katie have nothing to say about it.
Yeah, the most I saw TNA was the promo up to for Kurt Angle and Bobby Lashley's title match. So
that was in the commercial. Katie saw a commercial. Anyway.
Yay!
And then I'm going to go with my improve. I'm going to do the Divas stuff again. They had two Divas matches on Raw. Both were shorter combined than Wiz Khalifa's rap little show. And that's just, that I find it really bad that you're going to have two matches with four great women and they're shorter than the rapper on your show? Really? Like, come on. Let me do the cliche hashtag give Divas a chance. And I'm sure
all four of them could kick his ass in one match, so I'll agree with you on that.
fucking Heavy's dog could beat him in a match.
Like, I'll look at it from the big picture. The thing that I got out of it more was the fact that there were actual two Divas matches on Raw.
Yeah.
I don't think we've had that in a while. Yes, they were both short. But also, what it looks like we're getting at WrestleMania, I think, is going to be the real test. They have they're going to have a good 10 to 15 minute window that they better give them. You give them 10 to 15 minutes at WrestleMania, not counting ring entrances, give them that much match time, then yes, I'll think, give Divas a chance, it worked, it's good. I'm not going to... But
I just hope that none of their matches are behind the Undertaker or Sting match.
Oh, God.
Yeah, that would be a little terrible, especially after last year. Undertaker losing. Oh, third of Divas on.
They're just like...
Yeah.
You thought a lot of people didn't care before. Now they really aren't paying attention.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. And I don't know if I went on the rant on it here. I know I ran on the Weekend Review where... I'm for the give Divas a chance thing, but I think people are being very hypocritical. A lot of people that say, oh, give Divas a chance, like a month ago they were going, oh, Divas match, Beth and Break. They didn't care. And I think it's people are more pissed about, oh, you put Paige in that kind of match. How dare you? How dare you do this to Paige? Well, they've been doing this for a while, and they do it to male wrestlers too. Why is, what makes this cage so special? And the only thing that makes me say, like, oh, it has to be Paige. I mean, I like Paige. I listened to an interview from her today, and I really enjoyed listening to her speak. And the thing that I loved about actually that interview was she actually stuck up a lot for the Bellas. A lot of people ask her. It's funny because actually the show that I listened to was, because I listened about every Tuesday, Justin LaBar's Wrestling Reality. He had an interview with Paige last week that he re-aired on the show. At the same time, the show that I had mentioned last week, one of them, the This Is Awesome wrestling show, they're actually in Cleveland, and they got to go to NXT, fuckers, and I missed out on it. Long fucking story. I'm not happy about it. But they got to do an interview with a couple people. One of them that they aired on this past special episode on Monday was Sasha Banks. And everybody always, like, kind of, like, asks them, these females now, like, how do you feel about, you know, the main roster, blah, blah, blah. And I don't know what they're expecting people to, like some of these women just like trash on the main roster, especially like Paige and Sasha. Are you expecting them to be like, you know, fuck the Bella Twins, blah, 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 blah? No. Like Paige actually said, like, how much work and effort has gone in between, you know, herself and the Bellas of creating this story and whatnot. And I'm just like, that's what people need to be listening to. Mm-hmm. I think it's not only just, it's not give Divas a chance. It's actually, the audience actually needs to give all the Divas a chance. Not just Paige. Not just AJ.
Yeah, especially knowing that the Bella Twins have improved so much in the ring. AJ and Paige are such internet darlings, and we know how great they are in the ring. So just give them time. Even Natalya. But, like, I'm sure you can go back on any of these WrestleCasts, and I've probably said it once or twice about the Divas match having a piss break, but... When you see a good women's wrestling match, like when I got back into TNA, their knockout matches are far better. They're a little bit longer. And I feel like if you give them even just 5 minutes in the ring to let them show what they can actually do, maybe people wouldn't say, hey, this is time for a piss break. You know what I mean?
I actually don't think the knockouts division is that good. That's my personal opinion. Because before people were actually saying, like, oh, you know, the Divas division, not the Divas division, but they were saying the NXT Divas were better than the main roster divas, people were saying, oh, the Knockouts are better than the WWE divas. I'm like, no, they're kind of the same, especially at the point where a lot of them were saying this the past couple of years. Yeah, before, it used to be awesome, and then it went on a really bad drought. I think a lot of people, even like their tag team division, suffered too. Where it's just like, yeah, you're not getting these great divisions like you used to.
Yeah.
You're kind of living in the past of all that.
If I heard it right, there was a guy they hired that didn't necessarily like women's wrestling, and they didn't like X division wrestling either. And so those got pushed to the wayside, and that's what ended up happening. A lot of the good women's wrestlers ended up leaving because they wanted to wrestle and you weren't really doing anything with the Knockouts.
Chauvinist.
Yeah.
But like I said, I think if they just gave them a little more time, you're right, they are on the same par as WWE Divas, but the only difference is Knockouts get time on TV, whereas the Divas don't. I feel like if you just give them 5-minute match, 8-minute match, maybe 10-minute match, you have a 3-hour show. But I also understand it's WrestleMania season, and you're having to build up to 9 matches in 3 weeks. So
I think one thing we'll see in the future is that as you get some of these women from NXT in the main roster, you could very well see the Divas division actually start getting more time and start expanding. I think there's part of it that I don't think they're 100% confident on the roster they have. Like, I think Natalya, one of your best. AJ is one of your best. Paige is one of the best, but she's kind of a newcomer at the same time. The Bella Twins have gotten better. And then after that, it kind of gets fishy.
No pun intended.
You have, like, I don't think Summer Rae is one that is that great. Same with Alicia Fox. Who am I missing
Holy
from the main?
Holy shit.
What?
Katie, did any of you watch SmackDown last week?
Yes, no. I did.
AJ versus Summer Rae? Really? That match was terrible.
But how could it be terrible? AJ was in the match.
They were. I don't know if it was ring rust on the part of AJ or Summer.
AJ wrestled Brie last week
was
on
that,
SmackDown.
So then was it Raw? I'm getting my days
Raw, she wrestled Summer Rae on Raw.
Okay, wrong show. But that match was so sloppy.
Yeah, it was a little off base. I mean, but it was short, so, I mean, long at that point. I mean, it was about as useless as Eva Marie being out there.
Yeah, it's the future Divas champion. I can't wait. I'm not even going to count her on the main roster, but, I mean, is there anybody that I'm missing? Oh, Naomi, obviously. I think she's good.
Cameron. I think her and Natty have been having good matches, no matter how long or short. I mean, I think there's a possibility they might have, maybe on the pre-show, maybe have them have a singles match at Mania.
I think it's going to depend on that. No, I was going to say, I think it's going to depend on that tag team match if they actually do the four-way that we were talking about before we started recording. Because they could turn that also into a 6-man mixed tag, but I'm like, they just had that on Raw. If they put that on the pay-per-view, I don't think I'll be happy about that.
Right.
I would actually think rather see. Actually, let me rephrase that. What they're doing with the Divas title, with not even a title match, but it's, you know, a tag team match. Mm-hmm. I would not be surprised if Paige and AJ win, and that exact same match is replayed at Extreme Rules, but in a Fatal 4.
Yeah. It makes sense.
Because I actually thought they were going to do that at first. Well, not first.
I mean, I would prefer that, but they have to do the tag match first.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I thought, because I was like, well, you can put the Divas title on the line and have all four of these girls, but I'm like, no, they're going to do that, like, power and numbers and all that kind of stuff. Like, okay, you know, we got the Bella Twins, that's why you brought AJ back out. Blah, 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 so you gotta have the tag team match, and then next, I mean, that's what I would say with the next match.
Extreme Rules is in Chicago, too.
Oh, fuck.
There wasn't a chance last night with CM Punk, so that was a good thing, but Chicago, don't hold your breath.
I think of all places, that's the place that shouldn't do it the most. Just because it's like, okay, you're a big fan of his, well, you probably heard the podcast. Who is also hosted by a guy from Chicago, so let's all follow their example and don't fucking chant. I've said it before on the show, I want to hear people get creative with these CM Punk chants to AJ Lee. Don't just chant CM Punk, chant like, tell Punk hi, or
that would be good.
Chant AJ Punk. Yeah. Or something. Like, don't wait.
Mrs. Punk.
They start chanting CM's wife or AJ's husband.
That'll be UFC.
But
yeah.
the Chancellor, that's just so fucking...
Well, there weren't any. I mean, there was. I think it was during the New Day Kid and Cesaro match or one of the tag matches they started chanting. I'm like, really? You were just so good not doing it to AJ and you had to do it now?
Fucking people.
And it only takes one guy to do it to you.
So I think that leaves it to me. I gotta avoid not doing my keep as because I know one of them is my best of the week.
I think we have the same best of the week as well.
I'm sure you know mine, so.
I want to keep WWE putting a trademark. I don't know if you're gonna put this in your water cooler. I mean, we talked about it beforehand, and it sounds like you weren't, but so just keep it out. But WWE pursuing the trademark of the Too Sweet symbol. Sorry, Kata. I know you think that I'm just sticking up for WWE because I don't like New Japan and or the Young Bucks. No, I believe it's what's good for one is good for the other. New Japan wants to pull the Bullet Club parody shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees. In general, they're not going to want it anywhere. It's not just Pro Wrestling Tees. They're going to pull it down from everywhere. But that's obviously one of the biggest places to go, so you just say, hey, take them all down. Okay, fine. I thought some of them were cool. I almost wanted to get the World's Cutest Tag Team one with Candice LeRae and Joey Ryan. I was definitely thinking about buying it. But they take them down? Okay. I looked at that, I was like, you guys are kind of a mishmash of stealing stuff from other people, but okay, fine, whatever. But now WWE is going, well, we're going to put a copyright on the Too Sweet. Okay. Now the Young Bucks are trying to stick up like, oh, because we're the coolest faction ever and wasn't part of the Fed, blah, blah, blah. No, no. It's the same thing. It's the same fucking thing. And I applaud WWE for doing that. Fine. Go after them. I think the Bullet Club is fucking old as fuck now. It's ran its course with me. They could shut down tomorrow, I wouldn't care. And the Young Bucks in general is the one tag team, one tag team, whatever you want to say about it, that when I look at, I don't get it. Everybody else is all for them, and I'm just like, sure, whatever. I don't see it. And everybody has that in their mind. Anybody else?
No, you pretty much hit the nail on the head. I mean, granted, I like the Young Bucks in the ring, but everybody's got that one person you just can't stand, so.
Sometimes when I see stuff they tweet, I'm like, shut up. But in general, and before Kata says it, because I know Kata, you're either going to think it now or you're going to think it later. Yes, when they come to AIW in April, I'm going to get my picture taken with them. Do you know why? Because I can and you can't. That is why. Will I get an autograph? I don't know, but that's all involves giving them money. But if I can get a picture for free, I just might do it. Because like I said, I can, you can't.
Autograph, get them to autograph some toilet paper and just wipe your ass with it.
No. I'll get them to autograph a picture, and I'll have them sign it to Mitchell, who is Kata's, that's his real first name. So I'll have an autograph address to Kata, in so many words, but he can't have it. It's mine.
I feel like this is going to be the point where Kata turns off the DSJMP WrestleCast. Kata, out.
It's going to be like Daniel Bryan just got eliminated from the Royal Rumble.
And he's going to be Devil Van.
I could pull up that clip, but anyway.
God damn it, you have a bitch.
Oh, that was so fun. Let me see. My toss or improve... I want to toss Stardust in the Intercontinental match, which they announced online, or at least they announced via the app that he's going to be in the match. Okay, fine. I would much rather see Daniel Bryan in that hashtag yes movement.
Spoiler.
Spoiler what?
He's in the match.
Oh, okay, never mind. I'll come up with another one. I'm happy that because I was like, okay, maybe they're doing it for a suspense thing and they're still going to find a way to put him in, but I thought they were going to backdoor that into Sheamus. Because you don't need a big fucking storyline to say, we're going to have Daniel Bryan versus Sheamus. You could do it the week of, and that the build-up has been there for years.
I don't think they need another singles match. They already have the Big Four. You don't really need any outside of that.
The Big Four?
Undertaker.
Oh, no. I was thinking reverse that. When you said, I was talking about like Sheamus and Daniel Bryan, because I thought you were saying that they had the Big Four. I'm thinking, okay, I know they've done two times at WrestleMania. Where's the other two?
No, the big single matches on the card.
Yeah, yeah.
You don't need any outside of the three or four. So it's like.
It seems like Sheamus will be back at the Battle Royal.
Unless he pulls a Matt Hardy.
It's a shameful thing, Lobster Head.
He could pull a Matt Hardy and interfere in that match.
Maybe.
Which would be awesome because
he might be added to it as well. I mean, how many guys? That'll be now like seven.
Something.
And they could make it eight. He'd probably be in that too. Like the last minute, they'll just add him. Or Goldust, one or the other. I don't know.
Goldust.
I agree. I mean, it should be a Stardust versus Goldust at Mania.
I wonder why they dropped that.
I guess maybe the match itself wasn't that great. They didn't want to risk it again.
Wasn't there a missed mark or miscue or something like that?
A referee? I don't know. It was just the match itself.
Yeah, it was a mistake at Fastlane, but...
Well, they could have had Dusty as the referee.
Dusty is Dust, yeah.
Let me see my... Toss or improve, because that really fucked everything up.
Toss Wiz Khalifa.
God. I thought that was yours.
You can borrow it for 5 minutes.
I mean, what sucks is to explain my watching Raw. Because of the fact that I was hosting this week, I kind of feel like, okay, I have to watch the show. I've had a terrible fucking week at work the past fucking week. Yesterday was no fucking better. I didn't get to get stopped and get parked till literally right around 11 o'clock. So, like, Raw was pretty much over. I wasn't going to turn on a live stream, so I just went to Google, found the Daily Motion, found a page that had all the Daily Motion videos of all the segments, and just started from the beginning. And, every time it came to a match, I'd kind of just, fast forward to the end so I could get done quicker and go to bed. That made some good points, as in I got to fast forward with Khalifa shit. I got to fast forward maybe certain matches I didn't care much about. All that kind of stuff, but...
What did you think of the Undertaker Bray Wyatt thing?
I liked how it appeared on TV.
Yeah.
I knew a couple people who went, and Justin the Bar talked about it on his show. He explained, it's one of those things, you're going to see, if you go live in person, you're going to see what they actually do. Mm-hmm. But when it translates on TV, it looks a lot better. I did like it. My improve is a rumor, and again, I'm not sure if this is part of your bio dump. I want to improve the song that they're talking about using for The Undertaker. I think Undertaker is a big, big, big Johnny Cash fan. So am I. And he's lately been using a lot of his later work that's been released after he's died, or right around there. Ain't No Grave was one big one that he used that I absolutely loved.
Yeah,
I didn't see the graphic too well because how I was watching it. It looked like, or as far as I've heard too, it said When the Man Comes Around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's a song by Johnny Cash. Yeah. And what I'm going to do is at the end of this episode, I'm going to play that song. Sorry, Devil Vamp. There's some Bible reading in it, but that's what Johnny Cash did. And it's from the Book of Revelation, so at least, yeah. That song is very upbeat. My improve is the fact that I want Jim Johnson or whatever the other guy's fucking name, weird name is.
CFO dollar sign.
Yeah, CFO dollar. Whenever I think of it, I just think Kesha. Because of that fucking that dollar sign.
I keep wanting to call it CFO money.
That would make sense. But
besides CFO dollar sign, yeah.
I'm hoping they remix it and make their own version where they're able to take the song and put a dark tone to it. Because it is very much, an upbeat song. And when I hear it, I can't picture Undertaker coming out to it.
I think it might be like a video package kind of thing, and then he'll just come out to the regular music.
I don't know. When I say upbeat, literally the guitar rhythm is thick. So it's a little bit faster than the normal and upbeat. So it's not like he's coming out to fucking hurt.
I hurt myself today.
He comes out the Skrillex songs. Yeah.
Oh my god. God, I wonder what kind of music Michelle McCool listens to.
Probably the same thing.
It would be funny. What if? Instead, he came out as the American Badass.
I've heard rumors about that.
Because I've been going back and listening to some of the his the remixes they've had for his theme songs. And some of them bring back memories, especially the one that went with the gong, and then you hear footsteps for like 5-6 seconds, and walk, and then goes into fucking Limp Bizkit.
There's that one, and then there's You're Gonna Pay by Jim Johnson.
There was two of those versions. There's one with lyrics and one without lyrics.
Yeah.
One with lyrics is better.
I don't really care for either of them. Those were like really, and like in the long, like you look at all his themes, that's probably like the worst in my opinion.
I have it downloaded on my phone.
Some of the Kid Rock American Badass versions, especially with the return promo of Now I Lay Me Down to Sleep, I pray the Lord my soul to keep, if I die before I wake. Or no, I think I fucked that up.
I would have been so bummed if it turned out it wouldn't have been him coming back. Because like, it's like, that sounds like The Undertaker coming back, because he was gone for a while.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so pissed. I've watched some of his returns, but I've also watched a couple of the Kane returns. When he came back with a different mask. What I call the different mask, it's like right before he took it off, and it showed more of his mouth.
Yeah.
Like that return was pretty good, because he came back as...
Xbox tag team partner.
No. He came back as he stuck up for, not stuck up for, because who was that?
Rob Van Dam.
No, because he attacked the Un-Americans. I'm trying to remember who was in the ring, because I watched it. It was basically the Un-Americans are going to, which was Christian Landstorm and... Thank you. They're about to burn the American flag. And they play like one of those like little Kane vignettes that they do have done for Kane and Undertaker, where they just randomly play during the night, and it's one of those times like, oh, it randomly plays, oh, what's going to happen? And like nothing happens. And then some people come out to attack the Un-Americans. It's just two guys. And then Kane comes out. That one, like, I was like, yeah, that one was kind of awesome. There's also the one where he comes back to get revenge on DX. Where, like, all of DX is in the ring, and he goes in there and kicks ass.
Apparently he was there to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and he was all out of bubblegum.
All right, let's get into What's On?
What's On?
That's my shit, Doc.
Yeah.
All right, Katie, what's on?
Well, I watched Raw, and, well, I did see, just because I had nothing else better to watch, the Flintstones WWE movie.
Wow.
Is CM Punk Rock in it?
He's in it a lot, actually, which is not surprising that he's not advertised, but whatever. But I know.
I wonder why they didn't advertise him.
I was never really a big Flintstones person growing up watching, but, I mean, it's a cute movie. If you're, like, between the ages of 5 and 10 and you like wrestling and cartoons, kids will enjoy this.
What if you just look like you're 5 or 10?
That could work, too. But it was an alright movie. Straight to DVD, as usual. Next Scooby-Doo should be fun.
Yeah, I think that's supposed to be the next one, right?
Mm-hmm. Other than that, nothing really else. I just finished playing the latest Tomb Raider game on my Xbox, and that was fun. It came out last year, so.
Yeah, the free one.
Mm-hmm. That was fun. I enjoyed it. I like Tomb Raider. I recommend it.
What about you, Bio?
What's on? I watched NXT last week. As promised to DRG, I watched Impact Wrestling. Watched Raw. And lately, I went out and bought the new Dragon Ball Xenoverse, and it's a pretty interesting game. It puts a new spin on the Dragon Ball Z story arc of the Dragon Ball series. So if you're a fan of Dragon Ball Z, I would recommend going out and getting it. Pretty fun. But other than that, I have neglected TV for so long. I have, this isn't really what's on, it's what I've been doing. I've been having band practice nonstop the past couple weeks with my new band. We still haven't decided on a name yet, but once we get one, I will.
Later. No. Just one time at band camp. Oh, let me see. Obviously, oh no. Well, I'll be on the road. Actually, obviously, the only wrestling I ever get to watch is Raw. I wanted to watch the Booker T special not that long ago, a couple days ago, I should say. Obviously,
that was good.
But I was having trouble getting the WWE Network on my laptop working. Like it just kept like loading. Like it didn't even get to like actually get to select. Like, I'd log in, go to and everything, but no, like, shows or anything would actually load for me to select. I let it go for so long, and I said, all right, fuck it. And then I think I turned on Hulu and caught up on Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Let me see, any other podcasts besides the normal? I'll throw out a plug once again for This Is Awesome Wrestling Show. This week they did an interview, like I said, with Sasha Banks and Corey Graves. The episode, by the time this airs, they should have their next episode up that's going to have an interview with Kevin Owens and DJ Z. I'm looking forward to the Owens interview. The guy that I'll throw it out there too. The guy that I like on that show is named Steve Guy. Friends with him, cool dude. The other guy is the guy I don't fucking like. Literally, I yell at my radio every time I listen to it because of the stupid, stupid shit he says. Like, oh, I like heel wrestlers, and Miz is one of my favorite wrestlers, and then he'll go talking about how he likes Sandow, Mizdow, which technically, yeah, he's heel, but he's kind of he's turning face. And he'll bitch about Roman Reigns' moveset, and I go, dude, look, do you think The Miz is better? I like The Miz. I'm like, you think he's better? You're fucking delusional, dude.
Roman Reigns has the new five moves of doom. Mizdow only has five moves.
So, I'll just throw that out there. That's the guy I like. And if you like basketball, that's another plug I'll throw out for another friend of mine. Well, if you like the Cleveland Cavaliers, a friend of mine named Chris Clem, he does a podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That's a lot of C's, so it's called the C4 podcast.
The Cavaliers.
Cavaliers. But C4 podcast, Chris Clem, Cleveland Cavaliers podcast. Like I said, if you like basketball, you like Cavs, check it out. It's the show's at most, I think his longest show is like 40, but he only tries to do about 20 minutes a show. I forget why he ended up doing like 10 minutes longer.
Speaking of podcasts, have you listened to the Sam Roberts wrestling podcast?
I've listened to a Sam Roberts interview, I think when LaBar interviewed him, but I've never sat down and actually listened to him.
I kind of like it compared to a lot of the podcast one podcast.
I've listened to some too.
Because he'll talk for maybe 5 or 10 minutes about just some things that are on his mind, and then he gets right into the interview. And then after the interview is when he does all the bullshit that podcast one people do in the beginning of their episodes. So if you don't want to listen to him BS or talk about the week in wrestling or whatever, you can cut it off there. You heard the interview. You don't have to fast forward.
See, of all the interview shows, I like the most is Colt Cabana. I don't stay up on it, but I've always enjoyed his format. You got intro, his normal greetings. He'll maybe tell you about certain things that have been going on with him lately. Song of the week. Yeah, song of the week. Like a plug thing to tell you about. Like then it's always the same thing. Pictures, but like you just plug in his website. Interview, and then back to upcoming dates to end the show. I enjoy that. And the fact that he's supplied by himself, he doesn't have to worry about, like, all these big
cuts. Yeah.
Well, no, he does. He does do stuff being sponsored by people, but still, I mean, I'm perfectly fine. Like, he only ever mentioned, I think, once, maybe twice.
The only one, I think there's two podcasts that I like that BS in the beginning of it. Stone Cold's Unleashed podcast, because him unhinged is pretty funny. And then Chris Jericho's every now and then is all right, as long as he's not talking about the same thing over and over again. And he does it a lot. So.
Cowbell.
did we get everybody? Okay, yeah. Make sure we got everybody on the what's on. Yeah.
Sometimes you have to look under the curtain for Wayne.
Yeah. All right, and now we'll get to the WrestleMania warm-up.
Welcome to the WrestleMania warm-up!
I didn't really get much thought into a question this week. Because this is the part where, like, okay, it's getting down to, like, I'm not necessarily running out of questions, but I want to make sure I get some good ones more towards the end. But my question for this week is, what is the worst WrestleMania match ever? Obviously, your opinion, because if you look, there was kind of a lot of bad ones.
Well, The Miz and John Cena sort of sticks out in my mind.
I love that match. I was so happy Miz won.
I think it's Cleveland. The match is sort of an afterthought, though. It's not one of John Cena's best, I don't think.
It was trying to solidify it was trying to make somebody out of The Miz, and it just kind of didn't work. It was WWE making a new star. WWE, I'm going to turn John Cena getting jammed in our throat. Well, you had The Miz. But again, once again, it was one of those things, well, I want CM Punk. Hey, look what happened when we gave you CM Punk. Biohazard?
I don't know. Because usually the bad matches I forget about, because I don't, if it's a
Bret Hart
bad match, why would I want to remember? Fucking Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon.
I'm surprised neither of you said my answer. Bam Bam Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor.
I didn't even think back that far. Sorry.
Well, I'll agree that was... he should have main evented, but, I mean, match itself was okay to me. I mean, Lawrence Taylor held his own against Bam Bam, but I don't think it should have main evented.
It's one of the probably reasons why it's one of the worst WrestleManias ever.
Yeah.
Regardless of how many people think this WrestleMania sucks, I'm looking forward to it.
This WrestleMania is shaping up to be pretty good. I don't care what anybody says.
I think we'll get a lot of decent matches.
Especially, you said there's 9 matches. It's a 4-hour show. If they get 10 to 15 minutes, they're going to cut a lot of entrances. Your big matches are going to get about 20 to 30 minutes. This show is actually technically 4.5 hours because of the pre-show, or it's an hour, so 5 hours. Yeah. So you have plenty of time to give everybody a good time slot. Granted, everybody won't, but you still have the opportunity to capitalize on the time frame.
I was going
to
ask, like, which match you think will be the shortest, and we'll probably say the Divas, but I hope not, you know.
That's not necessarily normally the answer, because look at...
I know, Brian and Sheamus.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, that really caught everybody off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Quit snoring, dog. You're so bad at that.
That's you.
If they go Fatal 4-Way tag match, then I don't know. If they go the six-person tag, it would probably be the 6-person tag. The Usos and Naomi versus Kid and Cesaro and Natalya.
Yeah, that could definitely be it.
Just depends on which way they go. Because the Intercontinental title match is going to get good time. The Rusev-Cena is going to get decent time. Taker-Bray is going to get decent time. Lesnar main event, that's going to get at least 20 to 30 minutes. Sting-Triple H is going to get about 20 minutes. So, I mean, it's hard. I don't know.
I'm trying to figure out what's going to happen with that Cena-Rusev match. I can give reasons why they both should win. But if they're going to give us Roman Reigns winning at the end of the night, not counting if there's a cash-in, I think Rusev needs to win. Because I think if you have Reigns and Cena coming out victorious on the same night, the IWC is going to shit all over it. One of them needs to lose. It needs to kind of be like how it was last year. Okay, we're going to give you this grand moment where Daniel Bryan wins the WWE World Heavyweight Championship WrestleMania 3. It's going to be great! But Undertaker is going to lose the streak. I think they have to have Rusev win that one.
Well, is Lana supposed to be making a movie with Edge? I heard that.
Yes.
I read that.
Yes.
So, like, there could be a way where he'll lose and he'll blame her for it because she agreed to the match, and he'll kick her out, and that's the way to write her off TV.
They could also write her off with an injury.
True.
They could have her try to get involved.
I've seen that.
And say, like, on her.
Yeah.
Her boobs would fall out if they did the accolade on her.
Exactly. Oh, Sven don't like it.
He probably already does the accolade on her. Whole different accolade.
Can we just appreciate the fact that the U.S. and Intercontinental titles are actually getting pushed more now?
I don't think I posted that in the TSJMP group me. No, I didn't. It's a picture of the United States title and has like a kind of a face on it, kind of a smile. Like an anime-style eyes and mouth, and it says, I got Cena and Rusev fighting over me, unlike that slut Intercontinental title. Yeah, it's really great, and I'm looking forward to see, like, what you have come out of WrestleMania with those two titles. It's hard to exactly say who's going to win the Intercontinental. I think Ambrose is the one that deserves it, but they could want to go any different, which way with the story.
Our Trizzle.
What's up, JB?
Man, the crowd cheers for him so much.
R-Truth?
Yeah, he does the, what's up? And everybody just gets involved.
Yeah, because everybody loves crowd participation.
Yep.
Which, we haven't mentioned it yet. Axelmania this week. which I'm going to go on record, I'm going to correct something I said last week that I've looked into. Andy, there actually is Axelmania shirts, but I think he is selling them direct. Him, himself. Is selling them direct at house shows.
Huh.
Yeah, because there's also a website you can go to that he's promoting too, where you can order them if you want.
Well, the official?
Yeah,
because
it's not WWE Shop that's doing
it. Oh, yeah, it's not WWE Shop, because I know if you type in Axelmania, there's, like, some other website trying to sell them, but they don't even look like it. So it's basically saying, like, oh, support Axelmania, but it's not this
not
exact one.
Is, yeah.
Yeah.
I'll find the name of the website and we'll compare and see which one, see if that's the fake one or not.
I typed in Google and typed in Axelmania, and, like, some ones popped up.
I posted it on Facebook or something like that, and it keeps whatever website keeps popping up in my feed as a sponsor. Whatever. So.
Oh, he retweets people like a motherfucker, so it's really hard to like go through his stuff. And
yeah, he didn't retweet me, a jackass.
Well, she don't have boobs.
That's true.
Yeah, there's somewhere. But I was, because what I did is after we talked about on the show last week, I went through his Twitter and went through pictures, and like he actually had a picture of a box of them from the end of last month. The tweet actually says, gotta stock up because hashtag Axelmania is running wild, good brothers. And it's a picture of this big box of those same shirts. But obviously WWE Shop isn't producing them, so you had to figure somebody was. And I thought he was just selling them direct. Like, if you manage to bump into him at a house show, you know, he'll sell them to you.
Or he'll give them to you.
Yeah, that actually might be true.
I wouldn't mind getting a free Axelmania shirt. I'd probably wear it.
Other thing I'm kind of pissed about, wrestling has been in my area a lot. It was in Columbus on Thursday. It was in Cleveland on Sunday, and I was stuck in Arkansas both days. It was in Youngstown. What day was that? Saturday or Sunday, and a friend of mine went to that house show. He got VIP experience tickets, which, like, you get to meet some wrestlers, get some autographs, get some free stuff. He actually, and I've never heard of this before, he got to take home his chair from the show. Now, I've heard that for, like, some Raws. I don't even think it's a comment at Raw, but, you know, I've heard that at pay-per-views, but, like, what? A house show? I'm like, really? But he got to meet R-Truth, oddly enough, and I think Dean Ambrose. But
R-Trizzle.
R-Trizzle. It's not JBism. That's what just, like, the how he says it just
R-Trizzle. JBism.
I'm going JBism. What's up?
What's up?
Yeah, I'm double-checking. Let's see if the pops up next.
I like that he used the same song in TNA when he was in TNA, because he owns the rights to the song.
What's up? I don't think he used What's Up in TNA.
Yeah, he did. WWE has a remixed version of it, but he used the actual version in TNA.
I have to look that up.
He was Ron the Truth Killings, and now.
Well, I know that. Well, do you remember what his name was when he was first in WWE?
Kate Quick.
Yep, getting rowdy.
Yeah.
I forgot real.
Him and Road Dogg.
Yeah. But yeah, he used What's Up in TNA, and that was his last theme right before he went back to WWE. And when I saw he got signed, I was like, I wonder if they're going to use What's Up, since it's his song, he produced it, and oddly enough, they did. Of course, they did a WWE edit of it, but they did still use it.
Yeah, I've always wondered why there was cussing on there. I'm like, why would there be...
It's because he produced the song, yeah.
No, and then to figure out where MVP's Still Ballin' fucking theme is. I love that one. No... He had to do that one in association with WWE, because you cannot find that anywhere. Not the full official version.
Montel Vontavious Porter.
Anytime I think of TNA and Ron Killens, R-Truth, whatever, I think of 3LK? 3 Live Crew, him, Road Dogg, and Conan.
Yeah, that was part of the TNA days I didn't really watch too much of. When I turned into TNA, it was when Conan was doing LAX with Homicide and Hernandez.
Yeah, I don't think I liked that.
They still had the NWA heavyweight title when I started watching.
Back when it was a little bit more prestigious than their own title.
Yeah, I always remember Jeff Jarrett being world champion all the time.
Oh, yeah. I think what people used to call him was Triple W.
Which stood for?
Not Triple W, Triple J. Why did I say W?
Triple W. WWW. Yeah.
No, the Triple J. Because at that same time... At that time, Triple H was always making himself champion, and people were basically like, well, what Jeff Jarrett was doing, always making himself champion. They're like, oh, you're not Double J, you're Triple J.
There was one match in TNA I always thought was interesting, was the King of the Mountain match. It's a reverse style ladder match, but the only way you can hang the belt, you have to hang the belt instead of pulling it down. The only way you can hang the belt is if you score a pinfall, and if you get pinned, you have to stay 2 minutes in a penalty box. It's a very interesting match. And Jeff Jarrett won, I believe, the most King of the Mountains. So his nickname was the King of the Mountains.
Yeah, a lot of their really great fucking match gimmicks. But that's a different story. Let's move on to the next segment, shall we?
Yeah, we'll let DRG talk about it on his podcast.
We don't talk about that show.
Well, I just did.
No, the DRG's D-Tour. Yeah.
Yep.
DRG, just do me a favor. Get a fucking headset mic. Learn Audacity so you don't sound like you're a kid with a fucking Talkboy tape recorder. And I should know.
A Talkboy.
So next up, let's go to
Wayne Water Cooler.
Now with Biohazard.
Since Wayne.
Since we don't have a clip for Biohazard's Biodome.
Yeah, since Wayne got a new job. Congratulations, by the way, Wayne. Hope you're enjoying.
Crazy.
I hope you're enjoying that bus.
Yep.
Anyway, we can start off this week's bio dump with apparently Tommy Dreamer is going to start going after illegal streaming sites after an incident where he viewed the House of Hardcore buy rate versus the stream rate, and the stream rate was triple what the buy rate actually was.
I'm not going to lie, I was going to stream this illegally, but I ended up not getting a chance to. But
apparently he got a website shut down, and he has now the information of everybody that is signed on to that website to illegally stream his show.
That's why I don't, like, sign up for stuff like that.
Yeah, me either.
And the one that I go to, I don't know if they offered it. They might have. I'm not 100% sure. If they did, I would have tried to watch it, but if they didn't, I'd be like, oh, whatever. It's something that you'll still be able to get on torrents later.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. On the Talk is Jericho podcast, Samoa Joe was the guest, and he was confirmed saying that negotiations with WWE are open.
Very interesting. I'm very curious of what's coming next.
Yeah, I am too. It's exciting to see another good new face coming in. Should be fun.
Samoa Joe's such a good worker when he wants to be.
You mean Joe Uso?
Joe. He's not related to any of the Samoans in any tribe.
Well, Yokozuna wasn't a Japanese wrestler.
Yeah. Anyway, moving on. There's a rumor going around now, and it was sort of teased on Total Divas this Sunday, that the Bella Twins are actually going to finish up with the WWE soon.
Well, they're still here for now, so unless it's the end of the year, whatever.
Whatever. I do what I want.
I think they're going to re-sign.
I think if anything, Brie will probably want to have kids, and Nikki could stick around, as long as Cena's still around.
Yeah.
Well, it's like, Oh, what the fuck was I going to say? Damn it. They left once, and they ended up coming back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't see them trying it again. I think what they're doing, in so many words, is they're kind of playing out the drama from the first time on the TV show. I don't think it should. They know what's out there. And granted, their names are bigger now, but I don't see that translating to anything with them. Look at the success rate of people who have left WWE. Technically, the most successful one is Stacy Keibler, and that's only because of Dancing with the Stars and banging George Clooney.
And Dwayne.
What?
I said and Dwayne.
No.
We're just talking about women in general. And, like, not too many divas who went left and went and had a family came back either, so.
Yeah. So, like, I see if Brie wants to have a family and all that, that makes a lot of sense. But
I think
trying to do something outside of WWE, it's just, I don't think it's going to be very successful.
Right.
Next. Right, moving on.
WWE is trying to license more Ring of Honor footage for a new and upcoming Daniel Bryan DVD.
Cool. I love the working relationship between WWE and ROH. It's almost what it should be with a lot of these companies.
Yeah, it should be cross-branded through a lot of companies, but a lot of people are very protective of their storyline.
Yeah. I think, like, you'll never see that kind of stuff with TNA, only because TNA has took multiple shots at WWE. So, like, you know, why are we going to fucking work with you?
Exactly.
Yeah, because apparently WWE doesn't know what happened with Sting during the 14 years.
Of course not.
He disappeared.
I did on the Talk is Jericho podcast with Samoa Joe. Joe talked about how, you know, TNA's tapings are only 2 or 3 days, and then they're off for a couple months, and then they tape for another 3 or 4 days, and they're off. TNA is actually on a lot of the new contracts that, when they're re-signing the people, are giving them more freedom to go work independent shows.
I've noticed that because what AIW has been using some of these guys. Yeah. I do applaud them. They finally stepped back from some of their problems. Like, yes, I've always understood you're not going to want some of these wrestlers to wrestle for, obviously, WWE or any, or even ROH, but don't be like, you can't wrestle on that because they do DVD. Yeah, but that's still more money for them.
Yeah, so. He said that they are more relaxed about it now because they realize, hey, we're only doing a couple nights every couple months. Our talent's not getting paid, and we want them to be happy, so let them go wrestle. Like, they can't do stuff that's pay-per-view still, but they can go out and wrestle wherever they want, pretty much.
Yeah, and pay-per-view, it's kind of, wait a minute, they can do pay-per-view.
That's what he said. I mean,
because wasn't some of the people from on the House of Hardcore from TNA? And that was pay-per-view. I understand not wanting people to do TV.
Well,
because what you're wanting, you're trying to get it them not to appear on ROH, not technically appear on WWE. Granted, there's some, like, smaller companies out there that have, like, local distribution deals, and that's still prohibited. But I get it because you're trying to, like, you're basically saying, we don't want you to do this, so we have to also restrict this. But you could still have fucking DVDs and some pay-per-views.
I think, didn't Tommy Dreamer work for TNA?
No, I think it's more or less similar to, like, Rhino. Or to where Rhino, like, had a small working agreement with TNA.
Yeah, and that would explain why some TNA guys are at House Hardcore events, since there's a working relationship between Tommy Dreamer and Dixie Carter. You could be like, hey, Dixie, let me use EC3 or Matt Hardy or whoever.
And that's the thing, too, that if you have a working relationship with TNA, TNA can go, okay, we'll allow you to work on this pay-per-view. Like, if, even though I don't think AEW is going to do it anymore, try to do an pay-per-view, if they said, hey, we want EC3 on this, who EC3 and DJZ are two guys that are now currently being used by AEW a lot more, they'd probably be like, okay, because there is a certain working agreement and relationship that they've actually had lately. But it's not going to happen with everybody. Like, they're not going to get a call from PWG, and PWG like, oh, yeah, we want to have some of your guys on, and they'll probably be like, no.
And then I'll do one last story. I'm not going to touch the DeMont stuff because nobody cares.
I think he's touched enough people.
Why not, faggot? Oh, I'm sorry.
Anyway, Global Force Wrestling announced that they're going to have their first set of tapings in Las Vegas, Nevada. The only issue right now is that there's two different reports saying on when the tapings are going to be. One says it could be early as May. The next one says it would be in July. And that they're going to announce their roster and everything like that within the next month.
Very, very interesting. Aren't they going to do it? They're going to release I thought it was WrestleMania weekend.
That's what's rumored. They always say WrestleMania weekend could be the week of or weekend. That's what they're shooting for because that's when everybody's eyes are on wrestling.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty interested in this because having a promotion that they could have a TV deal, we don't know yet. And it could be Spike TV. Doubt it, but it could be. Their thing with TNA is done, so Jeff Jarrett could be on Spike TV with Gold Force Wrestling. We don't know. But that's yet to be seen.
We'll see.
All right. I think that's kind of there's nothing more to that. Let's get into the only email we have.
Hello, Andy.
Hi, Andy.
I almost thought I accidentally deleted it. I forgot. Well, no. I was looking for a from Andy Anderson, but I forgot it's from the DSJMP account. So I was like, why isn't it around here? No, I didn't delete it. All right.
just type in nickel in your search engine. Maybe you'll find it.
All right. I'm going to do my best Captain Awesome impression. Hello, boys! And Katie.
Hi, Andy.
Which he did not have it written like that, unlike Spanish Announce Table email. But I have not watched Raw yet, so I'm going to talk about NXT. I think having Riley switch from commentary to wrestler is a good thing. They have enough commentators to rotate around. Plus, I think they know what they have with him at the booth, but I think there is more that they can be milked from the A-Rai in the ring. Hopefully, with his time away, he has developed some good signature moves and better finish, because I could not tell you what his finisher or any moves he had in the past was. Yes, because he sucked.
Well, he had the skull-crushing finale, right?
He might have. I don't know. I hated A-Rai. Anyway, if he has some new move with...
Andy, you need to stop drinking while you're writing emails.
If he has some new move, him now being more comfortable on the mic and him having a I'm reading word for word and him I having can. A I'm please, and him having
Andy, please put your hand in the air and say with me, I will not drink again. I am better than that. And now I'm going to shave your head.
All right. And him having a good look besides his hair, could his way back up to the main roster?
No.
Could work his way back up to the main roster?
No.
What do you think? Can Lightning strike twice with A-Rai?
No.
Thanks for reading my email, the best that you could. And that has been my nickel double A.
Andy, I'm going to give you another nickel if you can spell correctly next time.
No, I think A-Rai is terrible. Literally, the only highlight he had by a lot of people was his music. And even I didn't like that.
I don't even remember his theme song.
Say it to my face!
And that explains a lot.
You don't remember it?
No.
It was by Downstreet.
I remember it.
usually A-Rai. Divas matches to the IWC is what A-Rai was to me.
Pre-mode!
Yeah,
no. I'm going to look it up. Rings a no bell?
It does. When I heard that the first chord, I was like, oh, yeah, now I remember.
Yeah, that's like literally the most memorable thing about him.
and the fact that he got in an argument with John Cena backstage, and now you know why he's on the NXT.
Yeah, a lot of people
memorable thing about him, that song and when he beat the hell out of Miz.
Hey.
That's why Heavy doesn't like him. Okay, moving on.
No, I didn't like him before when he was with the Miz. Like, it's like, all right, you know, like, you just looked at this guy and you're like, you're not going to amount to shit.
You know what my favorite part of NXT was the past couple weeks? Kevin Owens dumping the fuck out of Alex Riley over the announce table.
I love Kevin Owens. That's one of the reasons I'm so upset that I missed NXT in Cleveland. I heard a little story from the event that the owners and promoters and everything of AIW kind of had their own balcony. And it was a balcony that you actually had to climb this like ladder to get to. And when a lot of the wrestlers came out who once wrestled for AIW, they like made some sort of gesture or something in that direction. So it was like Kevin Owens, Cesaro, I think Sami Zayn might have.
He's back from Abu Dhabi or Montreal, where he's staying?
I thought, he's somewhat back, because I also seen a picture of him, Adrian Neville, and M-Dog Matt Cross.
Yeah,
who is also son of Havoc in Lucha. And they go back a long ways, especially fucking El Generico and Matt Cross. Like, I know those guys are friends forever.
You know, sold the kayfabe.
Dude, that has been gone. That's literally when they signed Kevin Owens, they started to acknowledge like all this stuff of El Generico and fucking Kevin Steen. So I was like, yep, all gone.
Man.
They know sold it, so now I know sell it.
Fucking, I didn't know Kevin Steen was on the Stone Cold fucking podcast, like, in 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, there's some kid named Sami Zayn that has apparently taken the likeness of El Generico, and he's in NXT. Because El Generico is retired, and Stone Cold sold that whole thing like a motherfucker.
Well, yeah, that's when during that time, they would, like, highly sell it, even when, Kevin Steen left Ring of Honor, he was like talking about going to go with El Generico down to Mexico to work with
the homeless children.
Yeah. But then like when he got signed with WWE, because like the first thing I think I seen was right around Survivor Series, even before Kevin Owens like had a televised match, they asked like all these wrestlers, like, oh, what would be your ideal Survivor Series team? And Sami Zayn was one of the people they asked, and he answered Kevin Owens. And then he went on this list of like, yeah, because we've had this pass and we wrestled. And so it was like, yep, kayfabe of Sami Zayn, El Generico being two different people, gone. So, but it feeds into actually the story and all this kind of stuff. So Where did we get, what was I talking about Kevin Owens for? Oh, another person I was going to mention who gave them props a lot of people don't know is Corey Graves. He used to wrestle under the name Sterling James Keenan. I know he gave them, there are probably more people that I know that who been through AIW gave them a shout out, and I really wish I would have fucking made that show. Long story short, I'm sad that I missed the show, and Alex Riley sucks.
instead of A Rye, he's A Girl Bye.
A friend of mine on Twitter at IceDan001, I want to say, he's had like the longest standing feud of hating Alex Riley, and every time like Alex Riley like pops his head up like trying to like get his wrestling career started back up, like he gets so pissed off, he hates him. It's great. But I don't think Alex Riley is ever going to become anything again. I think eventually, within 5 years, I don't even think he'll be at the announce table anymore. Someone is going to take his spot. I think especially a guy like Corey Graves.
Yeah, he's already retired from the announce table. He's getting back in the ring. That's what they said on NXT.
Oh, God. Hopefully he's going to go back to the announce table, because I don't see him coming back up. Retire. Apparently. Retire from the ring, because you were one of the worst original NXT people. Like, you were, I think Alex Riley was season 2.
I'm pretty sure I can name 2 people that are worse than him, and the first one being Michael Tarver.
Fuck you! He does suck, but he's from Akron.
I don't care where he's from, he's garbage. And the other one being the guy, I can never remember his name, always wore the big nerd glasses, and he was partners with Darren.
Percy Watts.
Yeah, fuck him.
See. Could have been that Ryan Reeves fellow. Or, no, Skip Sheffield.
Sheffield, yeah.
Skip Sheffield. The cowboy.
Yep, what'll do.
Whatever.
Yep, what'll do. Yeah. Battle.
Yep.
Now, there's probably more people, but of the second season, he fucking sucks. I think Percy Watson was that year, too. He might have been. Yeah, we spent enough time on fucking... Alex Riley.
Email. Thanks, Andy, for filling in for... Kata not sending the dates in wrestling history anymore.
Yeah.
He's pretty much said every date. If not, he'll say somebody died.
Maybe.
It's sad, but I want to know what happened in wrestling history today. And now I don't know. Thanks, Vamp, for shitting all over Kata.
Well, there was a guy on Twitter who was sending tweets every day to people. Oh, looks like he did too. He sends tweets to everybody like these facts, and he just does it to a lot of people. But he didn't do it yesterday, thank God. And I know the fact that he had for Monday was it was the birthday of Nikolai Volkoff and Rick Steiner.
Rick Steiner barked and Scott Steiner couldn't talk at all.
Whoa, watch your mouth.
Or he's going to take 2/3 bicep, 2/3 meathead, and 2/3 can't learn how to do math and beat my ass.
Well, there's one fake Axelmania shirt. The whatamaneuver.net, I follow them. They just threw up an Axelmania shirt, and it just kind of looks like the Curtis Axel logo. Kind of, it's basic. Kind of sucks. Anyway, well, I guess that ends this with Best of the Week. And how many? Yeah, we haven't recorded long. It's going to be a short episode. Sorry, everybody. Best of the Week. Are we all on the same Best of the Week?
I think so.
I didn't want to say it because I know you guys are going to go for it, and it is pretty much my highlight as well. But I did want to touch on the Undertaker Bray Wyatt promo. I thought, for like you said earlier, what it was produced on TV was amazing. Like I said last week, the fact that Bray Wyatt's going to carry most of this feud and the build up to the match, he's just gold right now. He's on fire.
That's not my best of the week.
I know what y'all's best of the week is, and I got people crying at work for it, so go ahead.
Well, okay, I just want to say one another honorable mention goes to Paul Heyman on the mic this week.
I was waiting for that one, too. Yeah.
I'm going to... Brock Lesnar's going to spend the summer unifying the WWE and UFC title. That's the first time in a while my jaw dropped.
I think that is very much the equivalent to CM Punk's pipe bomb promo. It's something that WWE, like, knew certain things were coming, but the only difference is when WWE cut Paul Heyman's mic, I think that was part of a work. Because I think they had technical difficulties last week, and WWE doesn't like to make themselves look like they have egg on their face, so they're kind of like, look, see? It was part of the whole time. We're giving him mic problems. Yeah, so... But the best of the week for all of us, for everyone, is Connor.
Yep.
And the thing that I gotta say is I called this back in November.
Damn right you did. I was thinking of you when they brought it up.
When I got the first I got the notification he was going to get the Warrior Award, and I was kind of like,
yeah.
I was like, well, my prediction didn't happen, or my idea didn't happen, but, you know, this is good enough. And then I saw a tweet from Stephanie saying that, like, he was going to be abducted. I'm just like, I told you, motherfuckers! Damn!
And it's going to be presented by Warrior's wife and Daniel Bryan to his father, and I like that they're going to make it an annual thing.
Yes. Like, I don't think they're going to always give it to, like, fans like this. I think they're going to find possible other sources. I think this is a good source. It's just...
Find somebody that touched all their lives in a good way.
Yeah, or maybe it's sometimes maybe not even just a wrestler's life, just somebody who's done good.
Yeah.
Who his friends with them. There's many different routes that they can do with it.
Yeah, the original idea was to give it to somebody who worked behind the scenes and stuff. That's what Warrior said in speech.
Mm-hmm.
But
this is the first good choice.
This was my reasoning behind him being into the Hall of Fame. He is one of the most unique cases ever in WWE. They have granted hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of wishes. I'm guessing it has to be in the thousands because they've been doing it forever. So what made this one kid so special that he got all the attention that he did? It wasn't just you're going to meet your favorite wrestler. It was you got to meet your favorite wrestler. We're going to bring you to a special Raw before WrestleMania, and, you know, we're going to surprise you with letting you go to WrestleMania to see Daniel Bryan win the title. We're going to give you, like, this all-access weekend. We're going to, after you pass away, we're going to put out a special video for you that nobody has ever done. Or, Dom, I got to talk past tense. You know, they put out that video for him. They put a picture of Connor in the opening montage.
He touched a lot of his lives.
Yeah, and they dedicated the video game to him. And I looked at all that and I said, why not put him in the fucking Hall of Fame?
Yeah.
That not sound like I'm being a dick, but it's just like, that's the next step.
Mm-hmm.
Put this little dude into the Hall of Fame. And the thing that I personally love about the story is, I don't have any younger brothers. I don't have many people I can pass on wrestling to. So to see a kid with that kind of love for wrestling, like, I don't get to see that. And I think that's amazing. And I think wrestling fans need to look at Connor and take something out of it. This is a kid that got to see the inner workings of wrestling to a point, but he still loved it. He's a kid that got to walk up to AJ Lee and say, stop your craziness. He got to tell Batista, don't hurt Daniel Bryan. And then when Batista fired back, was like, you know, tell him not to hurt me. He's like, I'm not going to do that. Like, there is just this Mark side of him, which people use that as such a derogatory term, but I look at him and the love that he had for it, got to see the inner work, he got to say all this stuff. I say, that's the wrestling fan I want to be. Mm-hmm. I love that, and I love Connor for it.
He was genuine, he was honest, and he was just amazing little kid, how much we saw of him. So this is a perfect idea to present this award in honor of Ultimate Warrior to him. So I think it's going to be a good thing to watch at the Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say they aired that video package last night, and there was not a dry eye in that arena.
And his father and brother were there.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, because they're from Pittsburgh, and they are in Pittsburgh, and... It's funny listening to the story. Like, I remember when the story first kind of hit about Connor, but that's only because I had heard about it through Justin Labar, who he's based out of Pittsburgh. He actually heard about Connor, like, wanting to meet Daniel Bryan. He put in a call to his people that he knows at WWE. WWE, you know, worked out the Make-A-Wish stuff, and from there, it just skyrocketed. And it's just amazing story. And the Connor story, like, I can't watch that probably without even getting a little teary-eyed because it's just so awesome. And then when he's now getting inducted in the Hall of Fame, it's not a pat myself on the back moment, but it just feels so awesome that this is the idea that I had.
It felt right.
Yeah, and WWE actually doing it, it's like, oh my God, that's fucking awesome.
I like how out of everybody's reaction I've seen or heard from it, not one person that I've seen say anything negative about it.
There's probably somebody out there.
Hall of Fame should be for wrestlers and stuff. I said, you're not even seeing, like, the bigger picture here.
Yeah.
I'm definitely okay with this. The whole story that he went and got to see his favorite wrestler win the world title at the biggest show, and he was front row for that. And Daniel Bryan even told him, this is because of you. And I was like, man, he touched everyone's heart. And
is that the last thing you're going to see on this earth, your favorite wrestler win the big one, you know?
Yeah.
Front row at WrestleMania 2.
Yeah.
It's not just win the title at a random fucking Raw or pay-per-view. It's the WrestleMania.
Biggest
and
show of them all. I feel like this induction speech and the presentation is going to steal the Hall of Fame ceremony.
It's going to be the most emotional, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I already think I'm going to cry. I'm now looking forward to sitting down watching it live on the network.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely going to cry. Because I've got, like, you can go on YouTube and you can find videos that Connor's dad and other people have posted of some of those things you see from the montage,
mm-hmm.
you know, from that video package, but you see, like, the whole thing of, like, him talking to AJ, just besides that, you know, stop your craziness line. It's like, like, he talks to some of these wrestlers, and if you go to the Connor's Cure Instagram, there's kind of fun stuff. Oh, there's him talking shit to The Miz, because I guess another wrestler he really liked was Ryback.
Mm.
And, like, he, like, it was just, like, you know, Miz, like, kind of, like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but, you know, just, like, Connor's going, no! And then there's, like, another time Connor runs up to the Great Khali and punches him. And, you know, Great Khali sells, he's like, oh! So, like, what do you have for? Like, it's fun. I love that stuff. This kid got to experience stuff that not many kids get to experience. If you got to experience it, your dad probably was a wrestler. You were probably Natalya or Noelle Foley or any other kid of some of these wrestlers, Randy Orton or something.
For how short his life was, he experienced a lot, so.
Mm-hmm.
Only eight years old.
I know.
Good for Connor and good for his family.
Yeah.
But definitely best of the week.
it'd be cool if Lana stepped on stage and just went, Connor, crush!
If that's a highly breaking kayfabe moment, but that would be one of those, like, highly awesome moments at the same time.
I'd be like, you motherfuckers just did this. Lighten up the mood a little bit.
All right. I guess that we'll end then on that semi-sad, semi-bright note of saying all these good things about him. So, Katie First Lady, where can we find you?
At Katie First Lady.
Biohazard.
At the Biohazard King and at future band name here.
You should actually have it at, no, I think at future band name. No, it's too long.
It's probably taken already.
No, it's too long.
We'll decide a name. We have practice tomorrow. I'm sure we'll have a name sometime soon.
The Crushers.
I might present that to him.
All right, and I'm at Heavyset330. You can email the show once again, dsjmp.com@gmail.com.
Please, Kata. Send in a damn email.
Well, DRG was supposed to send me an email or an MP3, and only MP3 he sent me was his WIR call. So figure that shit out, DRG.
Aunt Wayne, send some damn emails.
Yeah, Wayne.
Quit talking about
part of the show.
Quit. If we can promote Intimate AIDS, you could at least send us a damn email. on the DSJMP Entertainment website, on DSJMP feed. Continue.
Yeah. follow us at DSJMP.com and go to the website www.dsjmp.com. All right, and we will end on this Johnny Cash song, and we will catch you guys next week when Devil Vamp's recording, and hopefully more people are on the show. Bye!
Bye.
Bye.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup? or disappear into the potter's ground. When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing, multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying, some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured 100 weight and penny pound, when the man comes around.
His name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.